Quick question. Think about the thing that felt like your biggest professional failure 5 years ago. Now think about how you feel about it today. Different, right? That's because failure is not a fixed thing. It shape shifts as you grow. And today we are talking about why. Hello, peeps. Welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin, and this is the podcast where we talk about work, leadership, and culture in ways that actually help. If you love this show, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. It takes 30 seconds. It's free, and it genuinely helps more people find this amazing community. We appreciate you so stinking much. So this month, we are exploring the topic of F words at work, aka failure for all the HR folk out there. And today, we are getting real about how our relationship with failure evolves as we grow in our careers. Because that failure that wrecked you as a new manager is not the same failure that keeps you up at night as a C-suite exec. The stakes change. The self-talk changes. And if you are not paying attention, the way you lead through failure can either level you up or hold you back. And here's the epiphany. Your relationship with failure is not supposed to stay the same. It's supposed to grow with you. The leader who gets stuck are the ones still responding to senior level challenges with entry level coping mechanisms. The ones who thrive are the ones who let failure teach them something new at every stage. If this is hitting home, we have a quiz for you in the show notes called How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It helps you discover how you naturally respond to failure and uncertainty, and it gives you practical techniques you can start using right away. Go take it. Link is in the show notes. Now let's meet today's guest. Y'all, peeps, you are not ready today. I am so excited to welcome Kelly Burlidge to the show. Kelly is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Lineage, the world's largest and most innovative temperature-controlled logistics provider. She leads enterprise-wide people strategies that align business growth with operational excellence while fostering a culture of inclusion, collaboration, and high performance. Now, Kelly has more than 2 decades of global HR and talent leadership experience across complex, high-growth organizations. She is known for building scalable, high-performing teams and delivering innovative, data-driven strategies that actually move the needle. She's a Korn Ferry certified coach, a leading women executive alumna, and has been recognized among TA Tech's top most influential talent acquisition thought leaders. Basically, she's the kind of leader who has been through enough seasons to know that failure is not the end of the story. It's the part, that makes the story worth telling. My friend, Kelly Burlidge, welcome to Workday Playdate.
Hello, Erin. Thank you so much for having me. What a mouthful of words that you just describe me as. You make me sound so much fancier than I am, but thank you.
All those words don't even describe it. They don't. My peeps, I hope you are enjoying the show. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to our show. Hey everybody, Kelly, I've known you so long. How long? I've known you since probably like 2017.
Yeah, since Disrupt HR Chicago, I think, was where we first had our first intersection when we met there and you did a phenomenal presentation. I met you through some of my dearest friends, Nancy and Nicole, when we were hotting off the Disrupt HR days, and you came in like the tornado of Erin that you are. We met and we immediately became best friends.
Truly. And then Kelly, watching you. Okay. First of all, just speaking about that Disrupt HR, if y'all don't know the Disrupt HR format, it is like it is literally like you were on crack doing a keynote because it's so fast. It's 5 minutes. So it was a tornado. And then Kelly, I'm so grateful for that because truly I've watched you evolve in your different two organizations, and watching you become the leader that you are right now is like a gift. I'm so grateful. And I've gotten to witness you at the company you're at now, Lineage, in a role that was before your current CHRO role. And I just got to witness your people just being so proud to call you a leader. It was an honor. It is truly a gift to watch you lead people, and I get to do that. And so that is an honor to me and now the Peeps community. So everybody, Kelly Burridge is here. Y'all, you're welcome. Let me just say that. You're welcome. Y'all welcome.
Well, they're going to hear a lot of love fest between the two of us because the feeling's mutual. We've watched your journey as well in your book and all your teal outfits that you wear on your road show. And is that a coincidence, by the way? I've been meaning to ask you that. But in general, just love, love, love to watch your journey. And again, women helping women. That's what it's all about. And just have watched a remarkable person do remarkable things. So super happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh my God. Okay. I'll stop the love fest because I would go back to you and it would just echo. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop it. But you see, I have my hands under my legs. That's not
okay.
Stopping. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do this. Let's set an intention for our time. It could be a word you want to give. Let's do a one word intention. One word you want to give or one word you want to receive today.
Oh, joy.
Oh,
that's the first word that came to mind.
Dad, why joy?
Well, my son is getting ready to, this is just top of mind because I have a very heavy mom heart today. My son is getting ready to embark on his last day of high school today. And so I went into this morning with a very heavy heart and tears flowing out of my eyes and trying to shift my mindset to look at it in a positive way. Even though, as I'm saying right now, my voice is starting to quiver because it's so sad that he's leaving. And I'm really trying to do my best to think of all the good things that are going to happen instead of focusing on his empty room and, you know, focusing on the fact that I'll be happy that there won't be 12 pairs of shoes by my front door anymore. So really focus on that.
You can find opportunity in the loss right there.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. But I feel you because before we were recording, we were talking about it and it like hit me in a way. I'm not there yet, but I can imagine where you're at today. I'm grateful you're here. We're going to bring some joy to your day. And then I want to set this up. If we could be anywhere in the world on this play date today, where are we having this play date?
Oh, gosh. A couple places come to mind, but I would say at the top of my list would probably be somewhere in Italy, sitting in a winery, surrounded by a vineyard with a light breeze blowing and some lovely wine in our hands, toasting to all the wonderful things in life with joy being right at the center of it. So that's where I would be today.
I am right there with you. Okay, I'm feeling the breeze. We've got a glass of chilled Savvy B.
Yes.
Are you a Savvy B gal? I'm a Savvy B. Okay.
I'm whatever. I'm very much go with the flow. It kind of doesn't matter what you're drinking as long as you're with company and you're in a great place and you're making great memories. So to me, the whatever is in your cup, but you fill it up with the people around you. So
that is so true. But speaking of, can I tell you, I'm 25 days of no alcohol. I had to give myself a 30-day cleanse. I'm counting down.
And that's why your skin is glowing. And too bad we're not doing a video podcast.
Oh, God, no. I mean, honestly, I was like, I need to... that's a whole other podcast episode, but I really felt that when you're like, we have wine in our cup and in Italy, we are there. This is a whole other show, but I am very excited to have that hypothetical wine glass with you right now. So,
very good. Cheers.
Okay. So let's just jump right in because we're talking about failure and it's usually this big, scary word. But how has your version of failure changed as you've moved through your career? Like, what did failure mean to early career Kelly versus CHRO Kelly?
Ooh. Early career Kelly was very scared to ask questions, to look stupid. Yeah. Early career, Kelly was very afraid of taking risks and probably stayed in a place maybe just a little too long because she was afraid that if she tried something new, it wouldn't work out.
Yep.
And was deathly afraid of risk. So I think those were two big variables that I struggled with in the past. And new Kelly, I don't want to say new Kelly, but evolved Kelly, I guess,
yes.
Would be one that has just learned that as you continue to grow and evolve in your roles, it really is all about failing fast and learning from it. And, you know, we have a saying here at Lineage, you know, all around the lens of continuous improvement. Every single thing we do is red is good. So even if you start a project and it's terrible, it's okay because you have an opportunity to improve it. But try it, see if it works, go back and redo it. And I think if you work and embody that type of value system at the company that you work at, it really helps you spread your wings. And coming here has helped me try things I wouldn't have tried, do things I wouldn't have done, hired people I wouldn't have hired, and done things in a way that I wouldn't have. As an example, I came into the organization and we had some pre-existing vendor relationships that had been around for a long time. And it was risky for me, brand new person, to come in and say, we're going to do away with those. And no one knew me. It massive risk for me to take. And we unplugged those. And the outcome of making that change has been monumental. Or, you know, just not only cost savings, but just people are so much happier with the change. People are happier with the outcome. We were able to insource a talent acquisition team. Everyone's kind of, we call it bleeds blue now. And that was a risky move for me, which earlier in my career, I would have never taken. And I remember saying to my old boss, who's still with the company, who adore and respect, and I said, hey, this is what I want to do. And he was like, okay, go for it. And I thought, oh God.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm either going to get fired or we're all going to be a hero. So I had an amazing team around me and did incredible things quickly. And so, again, I wouldn't have done those things earlier in my career. And so taking risks was a big part of it.
So proud of you. I love that you said red is good, that's what you play by. And then now they bleed blue. Like, those are just two things that really stuck out to me. And it's so fun to think about your evolution and the risk that you have taken already in this role. Because you've been in this role. When did we talk last? Like, I remember I was so freaking happy for you. It was probably, 6 months ago?
Yeah, I've been in this role for 7 months. I think you talked to me right as I had taken the job. And I was white as a ghost when you called me because I was so terrified.
Yeah.
And now I'm 7 months in. I feel a little bit different. I'm still scared, right? But I'm never not scared.
Rushing it.
Lots to learn and been very humbled about this experience and just how much work goes into what it takes to do all the things to make a company good and run well. And just the amount, you know, that you have to do, like the uphill battle that we have and the changes that I want to make to transform the organization. We have a lot to do, but I'm feeling much better than I did when I first talked to you. So,
oh my God. Yeah. What a journey. I mean, I told you this at the beginning of the show, like being able to witness you, I've known you in so many different ways through an association and your previous employer, and then seeing you at Lineage with your team. It's so clear to me how much people respect you and really love you. And so it just seems like a real natural fit for you to go into this people-oriented role. And I'm just so proud to watch it, Kelly. You deserve it. And I know it's challenging, but you are meant to be there. You know, it's really meant to be. Hey peeps, I hope you're enjoying the conversation here today. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passionstruck Network. Now back to the show. You've had this role, but you've also led some other seriously complex high growth environments. So I want to ask you about that. So what is a failure that felt devastating in the moment, but it turned out to be one of your biggest growth accelerators? Are you open to sharing that with us? And if you're like, I don't want to tell you names, protect the innocent, that's great.
I'll probably protect the guilty, but I'll.
Yeah. Okay, the guilty, yes, not the
innocent. Yeah, we'll probably protect the guilty. But yes. I would say one of the things I look back at the time and thought it was a huge fail was I had been at the same company for just shy of 10 years, and I had a great experience there, made incredible friends that I'm still, in fact, just met with them last week, and we had a happy hour and got back together and laughed so hard tears were running down our face of just remembering the 10 years of kind of crystal ball moments. But that being said, I think it was one of those situations that I stayed a little too long and wanted to get out of the staffing world and out of that kind of day-to-day rigor and wanted to test the waters and get into the corporate world. And I interviewed and took a position that my tiny little intuition and my gut said, something seems a little funny, but I'm going to go for it because I think it's just me being scared. And I went for it and took a huge leap of faith into a pretty big position on the corporate side of recruiting, leading a really large team for a super complicated type of recruiting function where in those instances, people were going to be really tough to find, like needle in the haystack individuals. And took the job and quickly learned probably 2 weeks into the position, I made a huge mistake. I didn't listen to my intuition and vet the culture. And it certainly didn't align with my morals and my values as a person. And then realized, oh, looking in the rearview mirror, I probably shouldn't have left an almost 10-year organization to take a leap of faith just to run away from something and run towards something you should run towards, right? You should never run away. And that was short-sighted of me, I thought at the time. Well, what happened in that short period of time was I had gotten in touch with my former CEO and he had started a tech startup. And lo and behold, we just had this really robust conversation about what he was trying to do and my skills. And lo and behold, I left the company after a really, really short period of time. And being a recruiter, you know, Erin, you're like, oh, you're going to have job jumper on your resume. It's going to look terrible. But I did it because I knew in my heart it wasn't the right place for me to be and really thought, oh, this is going to come back to bite me. Every single company I work at for the rest of my life is going to say, why were you at that organization for such a short period of time? And so I went into it a little bit panicked, but took a leap of faith, went into tech startup, again, something I'd never done, but with someone that I really, really trusted and really admired, Terry Terhark, who's very well known in the TA industry. And did that for just shy of 2 years and learned a completely different skill set and loved every second of it. But at the time, I really looked at it as a failure. I thought, oh, I finally got onto the corporate side and now I'm leaving it and now I'm never going to be able to get back to it. But in hindsight, it was probably the best decision I ever made because it gave me A, the foundation and B, kind of the courage to know that I could go back to something like that. So it was a good experience.
I am so glad you did it. And look, I mean, truly, in today's world, I remember being in recruiting in early 2000s, and it was like if you had a little stint in there, it was bad in recruiting. Yes. Now I feel like it's very normal. Do you know what I'm saying? And look at what it got you to with that tech startup. You learned so much that I'm sure catapulted to where you are today. So let me ask you this. Is somebody listening? We call our community the peeps. If a peep, because you know the chicken dance, peeps, it just, okay. But if a peep listening is in the middle of a career growth moment mm-hmm. and they're terrified mm-hmm. of getting it wrong, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that no matter what you do, you can't get it wrong. Because, you know, when you think about, we all sit there, right, and we make the really long list of why you should do it and why you shouldn't do it. And you agonize about the decision. But I always think if you're sitting there thinking about the decision, it's probably the right time to make the decision. Because chances are you didn't arrive in that place in an unlikely way, right? Like something happened to springboard that decision. Either you are ready for a new boss or you're not feeling inspired or you're bored or you are just in need of something different. It could be something silly like your commute's too long or you're about to start a family, all these things. And you just need a twinge of inspiration. But chances are if you're thinking about it, there's a reason. And so take the leap. Of course, do your due diligence, right? Like check the company, make sure you're not making a bad decision in terms of the organization itself. Like do your little due diligence on the organization, but definitely the timing of why you're having that little feeling is really important to recognize.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you said earlier, too, about your intuition. Like, you know, when your gut is screaming, when you keep hearing that,
it really does make a difference. It does. Absolutely. And I, you know, we've all been there, right? We've thought about it and then we've hesitated and then you're mad, you hesitated and you wonder, oh, what would have happened if I would have taken a left or a right? Or it's like that movie. It's a really old movie with Gwyneth Paltrow where she's standing. It's called like Sliding Doors. She either gets on the subway or she doesn't get on and her life is different depending on which direction she goes. And, you know, don't be the one that wonders what would it have been like if you got on the subway or you didn't. Just get on the subway. So see what happens.
True.
Okay, so let's talk about culture. How do you build an environment at Lineage where people feel safe enough to fail, especially in an industry where precision really matters?
Great question. Well, safety is our number one priority. Obviously, what we do, we have to make sure people come home safe every day.
Yeah.
But we've also added one thing to every single one of our meetings, which is psychological safety. And I think if you lead with that, with the purpose of explaining that to people and what that means, it changes the game forever. Yes. If you start a meeting with, hey guys, we're psychologically safe here and you can do X, Y, and Z, it just sets the tone and the precedence. We also do things where we start with just meeting norms. And one of our meeting norms is attack the problem, not the person. Mm. And that might sound really silly, but when you're going into, you know, whether it be a talent development review and you're talking about people's progression or their performance or the 9-box placement, and you have to talk about individuals and where they are in terms of the transformation, it's a very emotional conversation. And so having those types of ground rules before you go into it set the precedence and set the type of tone that you need to develop a culture that helps you continue to evolve and have real raw conversations that are necessary to help a company grow. Because if you can't have honest dialogue, you will never be successful as a company. Because then what happens? We've all been there. You're in a meeting and someone's texting on the side. You can see them. Their eyes are shifty.
Yeah.
And you want to create an environment where people are empowered to feel bold enough to speak up and say what they're going to say in the text message behind your back and not say it behind your back, but say it in a meeting.
So every meeting starts with that opener, or how do you, can you do it? Or is it okay to share exactly what you say? Because I think that'll be really helpful for peeps listening.
Absolutely. We start with a safety slide and it starts across our organization and it talks about safety as our priority. And we go through just a litany of all of our safety principles. And the last principle on that is safety is also psychological with a description of what that means. And so it just kind of sets the tone. We end with that, which I think is important. It resonates with people, Erin. And also, this is the first company that I can honestly say we don't just put values on a wall.
Yeah.
It's the first company that like we actually mean it. Like people, when they say we live by trust, we live by servant leadership, they mean it. Like I spent last week with other individuals that were, you know, and they wouldn't even call themselves the C-suite. Nobody says that here, but other individuals that are in leadership that went out to do a community service day and you ask them who they are and they just say, oh, I work in HR, or I work in operations, or I work in, no one walks around with that, you know, kind of hierarchical title here, which is very different than other companies I've worked at. Everyone's in it together, which is kind of the one Lineage approach, which I think if you can develop that at a company, you're doing the right thing.
Oh, I truly believe it. And I've walked the halls of Lineage and you can feel that. You can feel the energy inside of the space that you've created. So kudos. I mean, that is huge. And it's a huge company. You're a global company. And truly, it trickles down. So it's kudos to everyone in, like you said, you don't say C-suite, but everybody in the C-suite, because it starts there. It starts at the top. So huge. Kelly, I'm freaking sad. I don't want this to end. I can talk to you forever. Okay. Let me ask you this very important question.
Yes.
We've talked about failure. We've talked about so many things. We've brought joy to a word that is not typically joyful, because you make somehow failure feel joyful. I feel like the play date was really great in Italy with our glasses of Savi V cheersing each other.
Love it.
Okay.
How are you going to make your workday more playful today?
Oh, good question. This is not me saying this because you're sitting in front of me, but I do feel like you are the company you keep. Yeah. And when you're around other people that lift up your spirits, it creates a level of enthusiasm and excitement that you want to inject in every conversation. And so I think to kind of keep that momentum going, you know, I will just keep your level of energy and excitement in every conversation I have today and maybe start with what you did, right? Like, what's the intention you want to set? I think that will be a thread I'd love to pull on for my meetings. Changing the game of asking people that at the beginning of a meeting and then starting with like, hey guys, we have 7,452 things to accomplish today.
Yeah.
Maybe let's start with joy.
That makes me so happy. And Kelly, feeling is so mutual. I was literally preparing for this and I go, oh my God, I get to talk to Kelly today. Like, it's such, you are that for me. You're that for so many people. So I'm happy to give back to you a little bit of what you give to others, truly. Also, I have to tell you this before we stop, because every time I'm with you, I leave with like a nugget of like inspiration too. And one thing I thought you said several moons ago to me sticks with me all the time. Is it important or urgent? Do you remember saying that?
I do. I have it on a post-it right here on my monitor, and I tell myself that all the time. Yeah,
I think about it every day. I literally think about it every day because I'm always. You know, I'm in your role and in a lot of people's lives, we have technology booming at us and dings and pings all over the place. And so that deciphering has helped me in so many situations. So just know that. Okay.
I love that. You always give me helpful nuggets too. Thank you.
Well, tell everyone if they want to find you, how do they find Kelly? Where can they find you to ask questions or just learn more about Lineage, you and your role?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best way. I do actually respond to people. I know we get a lot of outreach from other people trying to sell me stuff, and I'm really sorry. I try so hard to respond to everybody. It does get a little overwhelming sometimes, but if it's a true outreach and someone's looking for, hey, I need a help with a connection, or I will respond. But yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's the best way.
And if you just want to message her and tell her you loved this episode, we would love that too. Okay.
I'll pass it to Erin.
All right. Well, Kel, it's so amazing having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erin. Great to see you, talk to you, all the things.
All the things. Okay, peeps, as we wrap, here's what I want to leave you with. Your relationship with failure is not supposed to be comfortable. It's supposed to evolve. And if you're leading at a higher level with the same fear responses you had 10 years ago, this is your sign to do some work. Like Kelly said, it's your intuition talking. I want to thank Kelly so much for showing us what it looks like to lead with clarity, courage, and a whole lot of wisdom earned the hard way. This conversation, as always, with Kelly is a true gift. And now let's get to the playdate practice. So this week, I want you to think about a failure from earlier in your career, something that stung, something you still might cringe about a little. And I want you to ask yourself, what did that failure teach me that I could not have learned any other way? And how is that lesson showing up in the way I lead today? Because failure is not just something that happened to you. It is something that built you. And the sooner we start treating it that way, the sooner we stop being afraid of it. And don't forget to take the quiz, How Do You Lead Through Failure and Uncertainty? It's in the show notes, and it's the perfect see failure. We do it all the time. Next step after everything we talked about today. All right, peeps, until next time, keep playing, keep learning, and keep failing forward. I'll see you next time.